church say it's good for us to be here. Welcome somebody to church. Come on, go to somebody. Welcome somebody, say it's good for us to be here. For us to be here. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's good for us to be here. Indeed, it's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. I'm happy to have you here with us today. What a great time of worship. And I love and welcome all those who've joined us online. We love you. We appreciate you. We see you there. You join us on Mixel or on the YouTube channel. We love you. We appreciate you. You know, I believe in the Spirit of God. Time and space cannot hinder the Spirit of God. And what He's doing in our lives together right now in this place, He's doing in your life, changing your heart and healing your body, restoring your soul, and calming storms and doing great miracles in your life. Even as you just sit in His presence and receive His word. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, it is good for us to be here. I'm happy we're here today. And today, I will go on in my conversation, our discussion about Canaan. Canaan, how to get into the good things, how to enjoy, how to receive the good things that God has in store for you. This year, the Lord spoke to us about the glad tidings of good things. And He said, see, I want you to go beyond just receiving, and go beyond hearing good news to actually receiving good things, to enter into the things, to receive them, you know. And so the Lord, you know, just speaking to us from the story, the life of the children of Israel, how they heard about Canaan, you know, and when they were in Egypt, they heard about Canaan, and they began to. Think they considered Canaan, they heard about Canaan, but they didn't enter into Canaan until they actually got to Canaan and began to receive the good things. So there's something about hearing about the good things that God has in store for you. There's something about actually enjoying them. Come on, which one would you have preferred? Which one would you want? To just say, you are receiving good news. Yes, sir, no problem. God, I want to receive, you are hearing good news, I want to receive them. I want to have them, I am hearing good news, say good news. No, the Canaan, you can just be in Egypt, and they are telling you about all the good things in Canaan. Milk and honey, houses you did not build, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you eat vines, all kinds of things and all that, and you're getting that. And then there's a difference between when you're actually hearing those things and when you're actually in Canaan and actually eating and receiving those things. Amen. And so the Lord just wants to help us. And so we begin to look at, He's so interested. I've told you that before. He's so interested. He desires for us to actually enter into the good things He has in store for us. There's no point preparing a meal and the people can just perceive the aroma, but they're not eating the meal. They're not getting the meal. I mean, He really wants us to eat the meal. He wants us to enjoy the things that He has given to us, you know, this year. And that's the glad tidings. So it's not about glad tidings. It's glad tidings of good things. So we have to switch our focus from glad tidings, glad tidings, glad tidings. The glad tidings are always of good things. And He wants us to enter into them. And so we began to look at Canaan. We've had several conversations this year, discussions this year, and we talked about them. And somehow in this teaching in Canaan, several of them have come together. Referred to what we talked about previously. We talked about how to identify, activate, God help us for your life, and all those kind of things. And in this series, we talked about that also. And so this will be my ninth hour. This will be nine weeks we've been talking about this. Last week we were in step number 10. Step number 10, right? Step number 10, right? Step number 10 or 9? Step number 9. We said you will go out to face giants in a fixed fight, right? You go out to face giants in a fixed fight. And we're going to talk about that because when we got to the border of the promised land, we talked about the generation that could not enter into the promised land. They could not enter. And the Bible said they did not enter because of, come on, unbelief. They couldn't enter because of unbelief. So it was not because of the giants. It was not because of the Egyptians. And it's just because of unbelief. Right? Egypt was not holding them back in any way. The Egyptians have been totally dealt with. I mean, finished. And sometimes believers are always talking about the devil and things. The devil has been dealt with. He has been handled. They're talking about their past and people there. I mean, they were the ones talking about Egypt. Egypt was just sat there, forgotten. Egypt knew they had lost the Israelites totally. But the Israelites kept on saying, Egypt, Egypt. I mean, if there's an issue, it's about us, right? Going back. Not about the things behind drawing us and holding us back. The devil has no power over you. You must see that. I mean, if you look at the life of the children of Israel, you see that their taxmasters and all that, they had no power over them anymore. But guess what? Guess who always brought up Egypt? They kept on bringing up Egypt and kept on saying, we want to go back to Egypt. It's when you look back and you want to go back to Egypt that you see the devil seems to have some hold over you, and they say, it's the devil, it's the devil. But really, it's not like the Israelites saying, it's the Egyptians, the Egyptians, the Egyptians. And then you leave the Egyptians and then you look forward and then you see the giants and you say, it's the giants, it's the giants, it's the giants. Come on, they could not enter in because of unbelief. So not because of the Egyptians or not because of the giants, it was about them and not their lack of faith in God. Hallelujah. So we dealt with that. We said, listen, we have to put on belief, and I'm going to get to that conversation later, because of this year, maybe later on. But we now moved there and said, all right, and we saw, and I told you that the 40 years in the wilderness was, come on, you guys are not going to go in. So this generation, this your children who did not know, who don't know anything about anything in Egypt and all that, they will go into the promised land. So they spent 40 years so that generation could just pass. So the 40 years, for all, if you look at that generation, they did not know Egypt. They could not remember Egypt. The guy was five. He couldn't remember Egypt. And all he had was that wilderness. And then you're not telling him about the promised land, good things there are. He says, guy, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I think this will be, in this conversation, you will see the way they say the enemy of the best is the good. They had Egypt, and so they held on to Egypt. They could not enter into the things that God had for them. Come on, they could not enter into better things, good things. Right, they just had Egypt, and they could remember we had this, we had this. But there are greater things that God had in store for you. And sometimes it's just the fact that we are comfortable where we are. Come on, we are comfortable where we are, and so we'll not release our faith. Sometimes people just have some stuff here, they have some, and they're just comfortable, finish. So not release their faith for the next things that God has in store for them. That could be the problem. So maybe you need a little bit of wilderness stuff. Right, but really, it's not about the wilderness. It's not about the wilderness, because through the wilderness, are you still in church? I'm just enjoying myself. Through the wilderness, you see that the thing is not about the wilderness. I think people will make that mistake in this conversation, thinking it's about wilderness experience. I know that when I bring the word of God and we talk about these things, people always just, they consider old thoughts, but receive something fresh. You could be in the wilderness and still not see the power of God. Your wilderness experience, the thing is that if you open up your heart and you are able to consider God, right, and the things that he has done in your life, you come out into the rich place that God has in store for you. These people, they saw the power of God, and that's the complaint that the Lord had. He said they saw my power in Egypt. He kept on complaining about those things. So it was not about the wilderness, was not compulsory. I don't know, but this might be the first time you are hearing the wilderness was not compulsory. It was not in the plan. The wilderness was not in the plan. It was judgment against them. It was not compulsory. You don't have to go through that wilderness. It's unbelief that caused the wilderness at all. That's why they went through that wilderness thing. It's not compulsory. If they had considered God, his faithfulness, his kindness, his love, bring them out of Egypt, and the power is demonstrated in the Red Sea and the waters that turned, they would have just gone straight into the promised land. The real issue was unbelief. It was not a wilderness experience as such. Are you here? Because this generation that got into the problem, that faced the giants and fought for the land, if they too spent time in the wilderness and did not receive the belief God, come on, they would have not. They too wouldn't have entered, and would have still said the same thing. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The wilderness is not compulsory. I know someone say, I mean, all my life, you say wilderness experience is not compulsory. It's not compulsory. So that's the judgment. They didn't need to go. He didn't plan. He didn't say, okay, when you get here, you will now pray with them. No. He didn't. There's no that. Read your Bible. You could write things, but just read your Bible. Don't just stay on old talk. Somebody said something some time ago and it sounded powerful and nice, and then the man does, and they say, yeah, I think it's, no, it doesn't have to be. Just read your Bible. But this is not compulsory. He said, I want you to go into the promised land. Then his complaint was, they did not even consider my powers and all my works in Egypt. Alright, wilderness, 40 years. You guys, this generation must pass. Your carcass will end here. And then these people, you say, well, they're going. And so, the only difference we see, the only reason why this generation entered in, is because of faith. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. And the people who entered because of belief. They believed God. Simple. It's not because the wilderness was the thing. This was not the thing at all. Are you here? So through the course of the wilderness, these people saw, the idea is that these people saw God's goodness, this generation saw God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's kindness, and they considered it correctly. So they said, we have been in this wilderness for 40 years, and we had water to drink. We had food to eat. When we met, it came, I believe God. That's the difference. That is just that consideration. That's the way they considered God. They really thought about God. And that was the key there. So we said in this generation had got in. Now we move forward to seeing how they entered into the promised land. And that's why I told you, I gave you that step. You will go out to face giants in a fixed fight. Now we know from Joshua chapter number 11. Can we read that so that I can just breeze through and then show you some things today? In Joshua chapter number 11 and verse number 18, the Bible says Joshua made war a long time with all those kings, right? Joshua made war a long time with all those kings, and there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites and the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. Come on. All others they took in battle. So they fought for everything. They fought. All others they took in battle. So we see that they would now fight. And this is now, this is a very important step. Very important. This is a very important step for us to learn from. You would fight, actually. You have to go out and fight. I have been trying to say this, I've tried to teach this, because there's this error that makes makes everything spiritual. That either this error that makes everything look either spiritual or physical, and so they either you are praying, and then they lose the spiritual, the physical side, and what they should do, and they're praying and hearing God's word and doing all that, or the believer says no, it's not about that. See you where they pray, me where I know they pray, they do this, they miss both. But the thing is that it's in one dimension. You're not two dimensions. You are living right now in a physical dimension, right? And so you have to fight. So I'm saying this is because when you look at this, they say they took in battle. They took every city they got in battle. You wonder why? Was it real battle or spiritual battle? Come on. Real battles. So the real battles. I'm not trying to play. No, sorry, it's not a trick question. It's a real physical battle they fought. The error we make, and why we lose, I told you this last week, is because we go into the physical without the spiritual. We finish Sunday. That's a big reason. Sunday has finished. Pastor has finished. Then I now go on Monday. No, we're supposed to carry the spirit into the Monday. That is the only way you succeed. Come on, that is the only way you win. You must learn to do that. You must see that there's one dimension. Once you can see that, you go every day, you go doing physical activities with spiritual light and power. That's the only way you succeed. You will do your physical activities with spiritual light and with spiritual power. That is the way to succeed. That is true success. That's how you make true success. That is the way. I'm saying that because believers miss this thing. And let me just jump. I'm going to go ahead out of my notes and just pour my heart out to you, because I want to solidify that point today. That's what I want to solidify, so that we're not caught. When we say hard work, you not say no, it's this stuff, because I don't know how to put it. Don't mind me. It's something that hurts me. I try to bring out. I try to teach. I try to show. I was talking to my wife about it, and we were just talking about this stuff and how people miss it, and he said the fault comes from the pastors, how we present it. And so she said when the pastor said, "I spoke my house into being," he leaves it at that. He doesn't say I have investments that you know nothing of. He doesn't tell you that stuff. You see, he doesn't say that. And so sometimes we really, it's the way you just say when I spoke, he has that stuff. He's involved in stuff. He sits down, his things calculate. Okay, send out. He does that. It doesn't work that way. You go into the spirit, you receive divine light and wisdom, you bring it here, and then you apply it here. Do you understand? That's what I'm trying to see. Because most of them, you just say, I spoke my car, I spoke my house, speaking the word. Yes, I'm telling you, you speak the word, you speak it. When you have received, you will now speak it with light and power from the spiritual realm. You have to go there. It is from there you will deal here. And then you will connect the two together, and then you have that success there. That is the real way. It's not just, so someone else says, okay, so he doesn't do anything. He doesn't even keep anything aside. 7 years of plenty is nothing. You don't get people teaching things like that and helping people. I mean, 7 years of plenty, they spoke to me from scriptures many years ago in my life. When I say save, you know, I won't say save in church. And it's as if pastor is just, this pastor is just talking about it. I mean, you won't save anything. It's not spiritual. Just be going. The Lord will bring it. That is his means of bringing it. That is how he's doing it. You know, when you pray to God, you talk to God, he will not give you wisdom. He will speak into your heart things that you will do to get into the things that he wants to do. He will bring people into your life who will correct you, who will instruct you, who will actually guide you. Then your way will begin, things will begin to work. That is the idea of your prayer. He will answer your prayer by bringing people, bringing ideas, bringing thoughts, showing you opportunities and things you will get into. Do you understand that? All right, let me just keep running here and there. Paul tried to say this. It's difficult to say. Paul tried to say this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let me show you this. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul tried to say this. It's very difficult to bring this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 10. Verse number 10. It's difficult to say. Look at Paul. He wrestles between it. And you pay attention, you will see it clearly. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Look at it. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Are you not seeing the man is laboring? But he says it is actually by the grace of God. This is what he was trying to say. He brings it into this dimension and tells you that the grace of God and your labor are in one dimension. That is the secret to success. So he says, he keeps doing that. That is the real secret. People don't understand. That's why I keep telling you, everybody has a spiritual source. The only way to succeed is because they go into the spirit. You don't know. Where you with him in the night? You're not there in the night. Don't say, I know him. He works out. He's a billionaire. He sold this property and bought the other one. You don't know where the inspiration and the ideas and all that came from. Where the power source came from. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Right? And his grace, which was bestowed upon me. Come on. Upon me was not what? In vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. He now said, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You see what the man was saying. I believe that when we've crossed that point where we've released our faith towards God, this is the step, the final step where many people now miss it. They cross that step, they believe in God, they release their faith, and then they will not go out to face the giants. See that there? They will not go out to face the giants. They will not say, God has done it. And they will not rise up like David and go to face the giants. That is a problem. That last step, because when you are a world person, you believe God, you come, you pray, you do all that. The reason why sometimes people don't believe, let me use the word us, when we're talking about faith and what God is doing, is because they've watched people who are lazy, sloppy, prayer warriors coming to beg. And all that, you see that they are anointed, you see them in looking somehow and all that, but they can pray for you, but you do the work, they come and they make us see two different dimensions. Then in that dimension they are there, then in this dimension they are, that's why people start to say something like heavenly conscious and earthly useless. But the truth is that when you are heavenly conscious, you become earthly powerful. That is the truth. So I'm trying to do that so that you don't miss this church thing, this prayer thing, this giving thing. Somebody says, so what I give, you give back. Then you are sloppy with your business, with your skills, with everything you do. And then you say, but I gave now. That giving then releases spiritual power there. Then you will receive light and wisdom and ideas that you will go in and you will get results. You see, Isaac sowed in that land. He sowed in that land and got a hundredfold return. In that land, he sowed. He didn't sit down. And I try to show you this. It is very important that we as believers take our faith to work. It is very important, I'm saying that again, that we as believers take our faith to work. We rise up. We don't end our spiritual walk on Sunday. Now it has finished, I'm going home. I have to go and plan, I have to go and think, I have to go and do these things. No, you take these things effectively with you to work. You take this faith with you out there and you use your faith out there to get results. This is what Paul was talking about. And at this point, I want to say simply, God wants to use you. Immediately, I probably brought that in. That's something the Lord just talked to me about. God wants you. Somebody said God wants to use you. All right, where does your thought go to? Ministry. No, God, let me do it this way. God wants to use you to create a new product in the market. He wants to use you to bring a new idea to the world. He wants to use you, come on, to save somebody's life as a doctor. God wants to use you. When we say that, what we mean is that when we say God wants to use you, are you here? I'm just going to go like this. I'm going to give you scripture. When we say God wants to use you, we mean that God in this spiritual realm cannot enter into this realm and do something without you. And so he wants to do the things, but he wants to do it through you. That is the mixture of the spirit, come on, and the physical in one. Do you see there? It's powerful if you can see that. It's not all hard work. It's not all spiro. You can put the two together. God wants to use you. Why do we always say God wants to use you to mean ministry? Right? His grace bestowed upon you. He will use you to produce a nice something. You create a nice something. You do something. God wants to use you. Can you tell your neighbor God wants to use you? I'm trying to say by that statement that the spirit wants to do something in the physical, but it needs a vessel to which it will be done. And so the spirit, physical and the spiritual merge and they become one. Right? And so I want to go further. So you see Paul's issue here. This is how difficult it is to say. When you are saying, you're not like, but it's not God that did it. It's not God that did it. God wants to use you to do it. So it becomes tough. I remember when this idea was first said, when I first heard this idea, when a man of God said, I think it was Pastor Tony Sheriff that said, he said, you say God is the one preaching. God is talking to you. I'm the one preaching, talking to you. And he says, all right, I'm not going to preach. God, talk to your people. Nobody's hearing God speaking now. I'm speaking through me. So God is speaking to you through me. God wants to do the same thing through you. Are you here? Through you. So you will go to face the giants. You will get victory because of God. So I want to show you. Let's look at David's story in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Before we begin to read this passage, I want to just dump that work. I want to see it. I'm trying my best to ensure that you will go out on Monday and you will say glad tidings of good things. You will take the prophetic declarations, prayers over your life on Monday. Say amen. You know, say amen is very powerful, very prophetic. Lord, speak some word just pray over you. Take it and you say, this week is that week. You will stand. So you will take the spiritual and you will go into the physical. That's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. Not just say this thing has passed and then go. Then you now start your day. Christians go and start their week without carrying the spiritual into that week. And that is where, and that is how we lose. I would say, what did I say? I said I want to do something before I did something. Okay, the cross. I said I want to talk to you about the cross. Remember I gave you that example last week. Come on. The cross was a very spiritual something, but at the same time it was a very physical something. Right? I think that should help everybody. That should seal it for anybody. You want to make an argument? I mean, look at the cross. He died on the cross, really died. Really painful. Really. And then it was a spiritual thing that was happening. He went to do something and save us spiritually, but Jesus died on the cross. You see that? The two merged in one. Somebody says, I want to make money. Come on. I want to get money. I want to be wealthy. Remember, it is He that gives you the power to get wealth. You see that now? God, wealth comes together through you. So we see the cross as a perfect example. The cross is a perfect example where Jesus Christ is dying painfully, but He's saving you spiritually. There are no chains around the feet and the legs. No chains. No bondage. No death. You're not seeing death, physical death. It's not a spiritual something, but he was dying physically. So the spiritual thing there and the physical met on the cross and it happened. So God wants to do something. He goes through the spirit. He merges them as one. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
That's easy. That should help you see it very clearly. He didn't need to die physically. After all, it's for the spiritual washing. Have you? So the spiritual washing. You need to die physically. What do you say? I got the victory. Where? In the spirit. Take your sword. Go out to work on Monday and produce it for us to see. That's right. The Bible says angels, an angel came and strengthened you. Remember when he prayed, an angel came and strengthened him. You see the spiritual there? The angel came and strengthened him. Remember? Right, you know that part. I don't want to turn there. I could turn there. It's in Luke 22. But he says, angel came and strengthened him. Spiritual or physical? I purposely say, this one is a trick question. The angel came and strengthened him, infusing power into his spirit that he will transmit into his body so he can bear that pain. Do you understand that? I know why I'm doing it. You know, sometimes we can just do like I'm preaching and just go say again. You have to see that I'm trying to give it to you from many angles as possible. So you don't miss it. So when you are going on your way, you are walking from here to there, as normal as physical as it is, you are doing it spiritually. That is a spiritual man. Spiritual man is not the person that has locked himself up. The spiritual man is somebody who succeeds on the earth with the power of the spirit. We now say he's spiritual. When you are saying the man is spiritual, guess what? You are saying something on the earth too, but you know that it uses power from another place. That is what we are talking about. I'm trying to show you that the Israelites, they went and they fought the giants. But I'm making it clear to you, it was not fight. Say, I'm going to fight. don't go and don't fight without the Spirit. They went to fight with the Spirit and power of God. So if somebody tells you, what can I do that? Let me tell you, it will not be correct. Do it with the Spirit of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's not me, oh, it's not me, oh. It's the grace of God. Yet, I labored more than they all. He said, no, it's not me. It's the grace of God. You see, he keeps on doing that. Because he said to show you that the two of them are actually one. So, I want to, can we go, you get that point? I've shown you the cross. I've shown you the angels came and strengthened him. And that strengthening, you now say, whatever, is spiritual. When Elijah ate, you know they brought food for Elijah, the same thing. He ate the food, and spiritual strength, physical strength, all measured was one. They didn't cook the food in somewhere. It's spiritual something, though. But he gave him physical strength, he ate it. Means that's one. I know, you know, when I was praying, spiritual from my heart, it's not, I'm doing this because you will go to work on Tuesday. I don't want you to go to work on Monday and Tuesday and leave God at home. Most believers go and they don't leave God. They leave in one side. God is for spiritual. God is for spiritual. Now I'm going to work, which is what? Physical. That dichotomy is not supposed to be there. The Bible says he rules in the affairs of men. It means that you can't, the affairs of men, you are seeing that, you are saying men are just manipulating things. No! His hand is inside. I like what we talked about last week, where we said this is not the ordinary hand. When we say, you don't know before. There's nothing, it's not ordinary hand. Nothing is not ordinary hand. This Spirit is playing his significant role in this physical world. And evil spirits enter into somebody. The person does something in this physical world that will hurt somebody in this physical world. You see why you can't go to work on Monday without the Spirit and say, I am only going to work. I don't understand what Pastor is talking about. You see what I'm saying? You go with it. Come on. I say you go with it. Alright. Let me read this for you. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 10. Let's read. We're going to read a long passage. So just stay with me. You know the story. I want to read the passage so I can point out some things to you. And so that when we are done today, you will go out and you will face the giants. Right? Face the giants. And then you would come back in with all the good things that God has in stock for you. You will not be confused. You will not be confused about it. About who is working, what am I doing. You will not go out alone. The real issue why believers face is that they go out alone. They go out without God. They leave God on Sunday. That is the real reason. They leave God on Sunday and they walk. And they now come and with stories and blessings and say, look at what happened to me. And they now come and tell him. After telling him, they leave him there and go. When you are going to work, let me tell you why I'll stay. Sorry, I'm still going to stay. When you are going to work, do you believe, do you pray, declare, speak words, anything? Do you do that? When you are faced, that's how I know. That's what I'm saying. Do you really, that's in the name of Jesus. Do you? No, I'm working hard and I'm thinking, I can go. You see, by my God, I leap over a wall. I'm leaping over a wall, but I'm doing it by my God. You see that? See, I got the answer to this thing by my God. The inspiration and the ideas came into my mind by the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's how it ought to be. Or when you are doing it, you don't even remember. You just feel that this thing does not require, it does not involve, I have to ask, I have to do that. You just keep applying yourself. That is the problem. That's the problem. That's what I want to try to solve. So that every day, in your office, in your work, as you are doing something, you would use God. Come on. Or you allow God to use you. No, I didn't mean so. Anyone you choose. Use God to succeed. Don't go and try to succeed without your God. You come to church, you are a Christian. Use him. Use it. Carry his power to go and succeed out there. Or let him use you to succeed. You say, my success is not me. Yeah, let's start. I'm a millionaire. It's not me. It's God. The way of God not done it in your life. I don't know what your problem is. So. you're not praying enough. The error, that's the problem. That's what she was trying to say. He said, you're not saying, God did it for me, God will do it. I mean, I have to apply myself by the power of God. Do you get that thing? You have to get it. It's not me, it's God. Hey, God will give me my own. No. You will not plan. We're having money, business, and economics. I'm preparing notes again to come and bring light for you financially. I told you I don't do those things on Sunday. I won't come and do that on Sunday. So if you miss that, thank you. If you miss that, I mean, you miss a great stuff. Because on Sunday, I'll now come and start money, things to do with your money. I see people do. I won't do that. On Sunday, I will discuss these things and I will show you. Then I want to come and specially talk about money. We'll not do that. As money, business, and economies grows, I'm telling you, I trust God I'll be able to bring finance people to come and talk about money. I know I try. You know, but we'll bring some more people, experts, to do that. I'm trusting God that will happen. And we talk about our money. Investment, plans, structure, how to build a company, how to do that. I've done those things, so I get thoughts and I'm bringing to you, but I'm hoping to bring more people to come. Because it's important. Get booze, get material, you do that. So if you're a musician, what should you do? You should know people who are advancing in your field and then study them, learn from them, get their materials, read them. You not say it's God that gave me the voice. They don't know. Maybe they are not trying to lie. I'm sorry. But the way it's presented is an issue. What's that? You will think that they don't train. They select their keyboard, they select. You say this song blessed my life, which I say, you say God gave me this song. I don't want to say it's a lie again. I'm telling you, I know somebody who wanted to sing for top name. I'll call his name every day. There's no way you all of you say we've sang it, so we'll sing the song again. Listen to and took somebody else. You think he was doing kiddy biddy kiddy biddy? Isn't there a certain level? His song just switched finish for nothing. They combine the two. And you see that song, you say, lead me in worship. But he combines it very well. Yes, I mean, I know his guys. I wish, amen. If they select me, my pay, travel, visa, everything. I select him. Why? So you think they don't have those people there? They think they'll take me to come and play their keyboard. Let me go and do backup for that singer. I say, give me the phone. If I sing for the guy, the music will sell one, sell nothing, nothing will sell. With all the anointing. He won't take me now. I'm hoping you are getting it. Believers, you can't live like that. We must carry God with it. We must. The skill will not add the anointing. You know that the Bible talks about this man. The Bible says God gave him the skill to carve. Bezalel also. God gave him the skill to carve everything. God, I think I've taught you that before also. Anointed to do it. So when you are baking, God give you ideas. You know, you will sit with the client and you are walking and you just say, Holy Spirit, help me. You just begin to speak, just begin to talk. I say, I like what you are saying. You say, you are very skilled. No, the Holy Spirit will help you, give you words. You know, don't leave it as if this is not Holy Spirit matter. This is not this thing. I'm trying, I'm going to do it. No. Don't do it that way. Are you here? All right, let's jump into this story. I think this will also help. I want to say something very powerful. I'll show you from here. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. This is David and Goliath. This is another giant there where they had giants like that in the children of Israel. You know, they didn't give us all this story. I'm showing you how they went and how they actually took the land. And so we are looking at this man here. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. One of the reasons why people don't like coming to church or like participating with church is the way church makes everything look as though there's nothing to it. And people that are skilled and doing what they do, they say, no, you have to be. You've seen somebody that maybe is spiritual and cold, and you can't walk with him. And you know, so when we tell them that church is just spiritual, they just say, thank you very much. Oh, okay. Because you don't understand. I can't do this. How are you going to do it? He said, don't worry, God will do it. No, I want to show you. This is God doing it. Right? Next verse.
And David said unto Saul, thy servant keepeth his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. Just keep going, I'm reading. And I went out after him. I'll stop and I'll tell you, just know when I'm stopping, but just keep going. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. So it is the Lord who delivered me out of the hand of this Philistine, right? Let's keep going. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. We've never looked at this thing before, but let's look at it today. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he had said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with this, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Right? The guy just said that God would deliver him. They gave him armor, he wore it. Did you see that there? He wore armor. The reason he didn't take it is because he has not proved it. You see what? He said, I've not tested it. I've not used this thing before. If I have used it before, I will go with it. But I can't go with this thing. Are you seeing that he is inside the matter? You see, David is inside the matter there. He could, why? If it, I mean, they say God can do it, right? He would have gone with the sword and with this armor. You don't resist me. You are resisting me because I'm showing you scripture here. You are resisting me. I'm saying your mind like God can do it. You say God. Yes, now you would have told David to go with this thing. It was God doing it and participating with God. I said, this thing, I have not used it before. If I go with this thing, I will not be able to function my own function. Whereas God's hand will be upon me, but I will be hindered. The things are heavy and doesn't work. You hear what I'm saying now? At least that I'm trying to show light. Let's go on. Because nobody has told you. If you look at this story, you say he didn't use it, this is God now did it. No, look at the next thing he added. You look at this. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him what? 5 smooth stones out of the brook. I've told you. And really, look at this thing. You see that the man got there. He was prepared. He chose how many stones? You and I know. How many did he use? How many did he take? How many did he use? How many did he take? How many did he use? I said, I'm not crazy. You know? Because, I mean, the guy prepared, finish. He took 5. If he threw the first one, the thing didn't land well. He would have taken another one. Why did he take 1? Believers, the way you used to turn something, used to get me angry. Because you can't be reading this scripture and tell me I'm off here. He went and chose him. He didn't have it. He went to, he said, wait. Goliath is there. Well, he said, wait first. Got armor? He said, I've not used this thing before. Put this thing. He was going to meet the guy. He was ready to do something. He was going to do something about it. Then he said, this is what God will use. He can't use this thing. This is me he will use. But I can't use this thing. And God wants to use me. What can I use? I'll take my sling, but I need stones. He now went and took 5. He didn't take 1. Believers are fond of doing everything and saying that, you know, just, I don't know. Anyhow, he took 5. He took 5. He took himself 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And I dare to go further with you in this conversation. The stones he picked, because there's a little bit of study in that direction. When you see that 5 smooth stones, it's not any stone. It's not any stone. It's not 5 stones. 5 smooth stones. You can go back, you know, do your own study and find out smooth stones, what they mean. They were shaped in it. They were shaped in a certain way. He selected them. He got this stone and said, don't do it. They were strategic stones. And he did not pick one. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be coy here. I'm telling you that scripture there. Unraveling that scripture for you. Because if you go out and then you just miss it, we'll go somewhere. I still want to say something. Have you seen that there? 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a crib. And his sling was in his hands, and he drew near to the Philistines. I was talking to a pastor some time ago. He said, he has businesses. I was talking to a pastor who is the sole importer. He got this importing license, the sole importer of smoke detector into Nigeria. Sole importer is a pastor. God is blessing us. Amen. I say sole importer. It means he's the only one that brings it into Nigeria. If you see it anywhere, Abuja, Lagos, Kaduna, Sokoto, Bauchi, it is him. If he makes 1 naira on everything that comes in,
you have to say something.
People are doing things. God, ideas and thoughts are coming in. And God is helping them. But if he says, God has blessed me, what will you say? If I start and say, God has blessed me abundantly, what will you think? Then you go and sleep. You won't think, you won't plan, you won't draw, you won't do nothing. Alright. Let's go on. Out of the brook, and he put it there. Okay. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Next verse. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. Guy was neat somehow. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines caused David by what? The guy was a giant. I know I told you this before. I told you, if you read scripture, you see that all of them have gods. And the guy was a giant and has gods. So you see that the physical will always have the spiritual. Somebody says, the reason why that guy, let me tell you, if you go to Russia, you go to this thing, they don't believe in God. Why? Leave the arguments. I'll give it to you. We'll talk about that stuff. And will give thy flesh. And Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of army. Did we not hear stealing just now? Did we not read? Am I reading a different Bible? Sling. But he can't stole, no. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. This is what he's telling us. This is what Paul was saying. It's not I, it's the grace of God. It's I that labor, it's grace. It's not me, it's grace. This is what he was saying. This is the thing. When he says, I've come to the name of God, it means that God will use these things to do it. It is not these things, it is God. But I will take these things and God will now use it. You got what I'm saying now? I come to the name of God, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Next verse. I'm going somewhere. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts and wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Next verse. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and will give you into our hands. You see that now? All right. And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came, it's not with sword and spear, that what you have is not the matter. You have that stuff, I have this stuff, but I have God. I have the bigger God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see that now? Where is he? He's in you. Right? And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. Next verse. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistines in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Next verse. So David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and with a stone. You know that he didn't say God prevailed. God ran. You notice that too. We are seeing David now. David prevailed over the Philistines and smote the Philistines and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Next verse. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath. Therefore and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Hallelujah. You see David there now. You see him talking about God just now, but you see David there. There's this thing I want to bring out from this verse, this scripture we just read just now. You notice that David took, David took five smooth stones, right? You notice he went with his sling, that he decided not to go with the armor he had not tested. Then notice also that Goliath was not spiritual. Did you notice Goliath was not spiritual? I want to try to help you there with that one. When we talk about Goliath today, the unfortunate thing is how we talk about Goliath. Pastor, I started to laugh. We talk about Goliath as a spiritual something. Every Goliath in front of you, what we are actually talking about, is we are talking about the project that you have to execute. We are talking about your business expansion. Is that not the giant in front of you? That's your Goliath now. This is his own Goliath, physical something. What is the physical thing in front of you? We make Goliath seem as though it's a spiritual something. And that, we have defeated Goliath spiritually. And then we now come here and play. But actually, it's in this place we need to actually defeat Goliath. Do you see what I'm saying now? Well, church, I know they won't like it. What Goliath? If David's Goliath was not spiritual, why is your Goliath spiritual? He was not. He was a real person in front of him. He used God in this physical realm. That's what I'm saying. Use God in this realm too. Use God for that project that you have. So when we're talking about Goliath, we're talking about the bills you have to pay, right? The business you have to expand, right? The report you have to submit. The report you have to submit to your boss can be Goliath. But we are talking about a real something. So when we are talking about David and Goliath, we're not talking about mystical people. Mystical people. We're talking about real people. Real something here. And so when we say Goliath today, you will not see a big man standing in front of you. Somebody says, the Goliath is standing in front of you, we will die, we will kill him. You have to submit the report on Tuesday. You will die if you die. You will submit the report by the grace and power of God. Try. You know, a lot of people have thought about these things, and they've thought a lot of errors, and that's hindered a lot of Christians. And I love what you said when you say, you just say, God has blessed me. I'm telling you, I fight first class everywhere I go. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, God can do it for you. You need to see that. What are you doing? He will tell you what he's doing. He will tell you he does a lot of things. He will tell you the business. He will tell you that investment there. And guess what? He said, and God told me I should do this and I should do this. I've told you my personal story. I mean, the Lord said, Lord told me, he showed me something clearly. He said before the system collapsed, there are people that know, before the system collapsed and everything, I was inside there, I saw it almost a year and a half prior to it. Okay. People that know. And I said I have to do something. So I packed some money, some cash, invest here, put it there. I did those strategically. After doing that, everything turned. I mean, economy turned. But the investment yield from that investment is powerful. If you try to get into that same sector now, it will not, most likely not be. There's a spiritual side to taking steps physically. That's the only thing I can tell you. I'm telling you the truth. I've told you several times. I was told you the other this testimony also. There was a deal I was going to try. I called on, let's just say on Tuesday, in the evening around 4 o'clock. I said, all right, prepare documents, everything. I will see in the morning. I will settle it in the morning. I just went to sleep. I saw a vision clearly. If you do this deal, you will die. I called this one and said, I'm not doing this deal. I said, I'm not doing it. I messaged him around 12:01 a.m. Send a message on WhatsApp. Immediately I got up that vision. I say, I didn't even tell me consult with anything, anybody. No, I mean, I just sent a message. I'm not doing it again. I said, I'll send it later. The God rules in the affairs of men. That's why you have God. Someone I say, he did this stuff. He just, you don't know. It's because you are not using God. You're not taking steps using God, and that is the problem. That's what I'm trying to end. So if somebody tells me and say God has blessed me, you find out that he's dealing with God from that spiritual side is bringing things into the physical, because the Goliath in front of you, the Goliath is not spiritual. Goliath is actually very physical. You want to expand your business, that is Goliath. You have a report to submit, and see the, how to start to write the thing you don't understand. That is Goliath there. Because when we come and then we sling our stone in the spirit and kill Goliath in the spirit, we now say we have done that, and we go out and they say, did you kill Goliath? He said, yes, just like David killed Goliath. I'm telling you that David Goliath, I'll just say it again, David Goliath was not spiritual. It was physical. Don't turn your Goliath to spiritual. Yes, I'm getting that. You see, but I thought you said spiritual. No, you use spiritual in the physical. You use the spiritual in the physical. Don't go to the spiritual, keep Goliath there, and come here, the report is still in front of you, the bills to pay is still piling up. Things you want to do, you are still, they are bigger than you and you can't do them. You go to your God, He will give you grace and strength, and then you will face those things with the wisdom that He provides, and you will defeat that Goliath. That is how it works. Amen?
Amen.
So if I kill your Goliath spiritually, it's not a bad thing. You will not say the Goliath has died. Abi? Their defenses have what? Left them. Then guess what you now do when you go out on Monday? You now go with the confidence to go and actually defeat the Goliath. You will use the spiritual. I will have to come back next week. You don't. I've done my best. I'm showing you. I'm doing my best. I know you rather that it is spiritual so that you can do as though the bills are not there. As if the report you will not submit it on Friday. The deadline is on Friday. That business must expand. We can do all we like. But what you will do is, Lord, give me the thoughts and the ideas so that I will go in and I will expand this business. And then you will go in and you will determine that I will buy this stuff, I will do this stuff, and the Lord will guide you. He will lead you in all your ways. Come on. He will lead you, guide you in all your ways. That is how you will get the good things. We are now at the very edge of the promised land. We are now there. To take it now is what I'm teaching you. That you will actually go and take it. You will actually go and you will fight Goliath with the strength that God provides. You will go into your day with the wisdom and the light of God. You will not forget, leave God at home and go on Tuesday and tell me, Pastor, what happened? No! You will go with God on Tuesday. God will be with you, very well with you on Thursday when you are doing that stuff. You will say, Holy Spirit, help me. It will not be strange for you to call upon your God. Now we don't need amulets and charms and things to wear. We have a God who we retain in our hearts, and then we can draw from Him anytime, any day, and we'll live a great life and succeed in life. But if I give you one bottle and tie something around it and rub one small bottle, not tie one white handkerchief around it and put it there and do that and say you take that thing with you, Abi? Take it to work, drop it there. And I say, when things are, you can rub it. You see, you do that. You find that there's a physical representation of that thing. That is what they do out there, up there. You know. We don't need to do that. But that does not mean that we'll not live. We don't walk away from the spiritual. We are inside the spiritual when we are walking here. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if that helps you. So, on Tuesday, when you are doing your work, you are doing it with God. Inside you, you are seeking His help. And He's coming out of you, His wisdom. Helping you. And then when you are walking, first we have several testimonies of this, and you are walking and you are getting tired. Really tired, you are tired. Say, Father, say, God, give me strength. He will infuse your body with strength. You will find that you are able to do it. Everybody is tired, people are complaining that today has been a long day, but you will keep on walking. You will see the believer, you are making hair. That believer will make more hair than every other person. And they say, well, we are tired, we are giving up. When they are falling down, we will rise up and we will stand strong and we will get victory. It will be by our God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are falling down, but we will what? We will stand up. We will stand up. He said they will run, they will not be weary. Even the youth will be faint and be tired. But those that wait upon the Lord, He will renew their strength. So we will draw from the Spirit. We have the Spirit so that we can draw from the Spirit and use where? In the physical. There's no point being spiritual dollar. You need the dollar here. So go and draw from your spiritual dollar and use it here. That's what I'm talking about. Draw from your spiritual strength and defeat the Goliath in front of you. Draw from your God and defeat the giants in front of you. That is how you will take the land. You will succeed and enjoy the good things that God has in store for you. That is how. So the Israelites went and they fought. They fought real battles. They fought and they took the land. They slew the giants and they took the land. That's what we're going to do. They went with their God. We will say concerning them, their defenses, come on, their defenses have left them. Their defenses have left them. We will say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We will not say, I'm going to work, leave other side. Church has finished. Pastor Ray's work has finished. He finished on Sunday, 12 midnight. On Monday, gangan work has finished. No, we will go with it. We will go with the word. You will quote the word. By God, I leap over a wall. By the light of God, I walk through darkness. Come on. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. You will start quoting, come on, all the scriptures, they'll be coming out of your mouth. They'll be coming out of your mouth. That is the spiritual walking here in the physical. That is how you will submit that report, and they will say, who wrote this report? How? I mean, look at this. This is, everybody come, this is a perfect something here. And you're like, who? And this is, then you will testify that it is God that helped you write it, but you were the one that wrote that report by the hand of God. You will not be like Apostle Paul. It will happen to you. My God, it will happen to you. It's not I. It's the grace of God. I was working very hard then. I worked for 5 hours straight by the strength that God provided. No, it's not me. Oh, don't respect me. Oh, look at God. Seek God. It means you will get there. When you see success in your hand, and you will know that it is God that worked through you and you achieved it. The good things that you want to receive, that you will enjoy in this year, that will enter into your hands, it will not be by your power, it will be by God. You will walk with God and you will get there. Amen. That's what I'm saying there. You will not sit down. God will infuse you with strength and wisdom and light. You will go out, you will walk them out, and then you will see them. And then you stand there, you stand and testify that God has done this thing for me. Amen. God has done this thing for me. He will use you. Amen. God will use you. Amen. He will use you. To enter into, he will use you to enter into millions. You will have so much that you have enough to give away. Enough to give away. Just like God will use a man of God to bring blessing and healing to somebody. Abi, he will use you to bring physical something to people. Is it the man that is healing? Or is it Jesus that is healing? People always quarrel about all those things. Those things are very, just very simple. From there you can see it's very simple. He's cooperating with God. If you see the man there succeeding, guess what? That man is cooperating with God. Will you cooperate with God? Will you go out with God? Yes. Or you will leave church and forget everything and say, church has finished. That is church. That leave and for church. That's for church. No, we're not leaving anything for church. Will they carry the thing come up for inside church? Will they carry and go use them for outside? We are carrying this thing. We don't need to give you something physical to carry. Go and bring coconut so I can pour this oil on the coconut. You now carry the coconut to your house. That's physical, man. You don't need that one. You don't need that one. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are carrying power everywhere you go. Draw from that power every time. And you will succeed. That's the only way. If you go by yourself, you will fail. If you wait for him, nothing will happen. If you go with your God, with your sling and stone, it's not big old. With your sling and stone, your God will make it powerful. Your God will give you results. Thank you, Father. Somebody got something today? All right. A very great church. Very great church. The word of God is making us strong, giving us wisdom and light. So we'll go. We'll go. get results. Bow your heads this morning. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the light of your word. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I will go out into May with the strength and life that you provide. You see now, I will go out into my day with the life that you provide. I'm not going by my power. I will go, but it is God going with me. I will go on Tuesday, it is God there with me. You see now, that is the key to success. David had God with him. You will have God there with you there. When you are making that thing there, when you are going there, you are walking there, you are going to say, Father God, I'm with you. Don't go by yourself. You go with God. Don't expect God to go. You see, you will go with God. That's how it works. He will hold your hand. He will fill you with the Spirit. And then you will go by the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. You will say that this thing is not by my hand. It is the hand of God. You see it now. You will be like Apostle Paul. You will be like Apostle Paul. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. You see it now. I am what I am by the grace of God. Yet it's not I. I labored more than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God. Come on. Go with God. That's the secret to success. You go with God. Oh, I said church now scam. Church now scam because you leave church in church. Take these words, take them out there, and they'll produce results. You take this word to the marketplace. You take this word to schools. Take this word to your office, and you will see the word of God works. Come on. I will go with God. Come on. That's what I want to hear. I will face Goliath with God. I want to expand this business. I will expand this business by the power of God. I'm thinking, I'm structuring, and you will give me light and instructions. Light and instructions on my life. Light and instructions on my life. Come on. Rike Bokore Mamma Santa Bacalades. Jitelema Prodekelemaha. I go in the power of God. I go in the wisdom of God. I go in the strength that God provides. You see now. Come on, that's how. I go with the strength that God provides. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not bubbling in my spirit for us to read. To call everybody to say 1 Corinthians 5:15-10. Can we put that up? I want to say, I want to pray from there. I want to pray. I'm wrapping up this. Maybe next week I'll wrap it up entirely. But we are going to receive all the good things that God has in store for us. And this is the final key. We will war for them. But it's a fixed fight. I'm telling you these things now because in the world you have troubles. In the world you have problems. Let's go to John chapter number 16, verse number 33. You see that there. Let's go there first. So you see, I'm telling you this is now because in the world you have challenges, you have troubles. This is I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Because in the world you have Goliaths, you have tribulations, you have giants. But be of good cheer. Come on, be of good cheer and overcome the world. You see now, in this world you have those trials. I'm telling you this is now. So you will go with God. You say, I will overcome this world. You see, I've overcome this one. He said, I'm saying this to you because so you might have peace. Don't worry. He said, Pastor, there are mountains in front of me. Pastor, there are giants in front of me. I don't even know how to pay my bills. I don't even know what to do. Let's say, oh, okay, thank you, Pastor, for a nice preaching today. Preaching is not a nice preaching. You are not going to go with God. So we're going in the name of Jesus. Now take me to 1 Corinthians 15:10. I want to stand, I want to say that. I want to say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Come on. You say, come on. 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. We just read it just now. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, you see, I am what I am. Paul said he got this stuff by the grace of God. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not what? Was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly. Come on, I labored. You see, I labored more abundantly. You see, I labored. So I'm going to stand. I'm going to say those things. You say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, because the grace upon me, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. You say, but I labored more abundantly. Okay, let me do it with you, then you will pray. We'll pray from that. Are we ready? All right. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored. Say, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Come on, but the grace of God which was with me. Not I. Say, not I, but the grace of God which was with me. But I labored more abundantly. Are you ready now? I labored more abundantly. Yet not I, but the grace of God. Come on. I labored more abundantly. Yet not I, but the grace of God. Come on, pray. Say, I labored more abundantly. Yet not I, but the grace of God. Can labor something? I labored more abundantly. Yet not I, but the grace of God. I labored more abundantly. Yet not I, but the grace of God. Come on. In the name of Jesus. I labored more abundantly, yet not I. Come on, I labored more abundantly, yet not I. I labored more abundantly, yet not I. Come on, I labored more abundantly, yet not I. The grace of God. Come on, the grace of God. Santa Baba Baba Santa Calaborego Sete Rube Legebande Figa Labanda Seco. Hey, you are victorious. Come on, you are victorious. Go with that victory. Walk with victory in mind. Walk with God on your inside. I have overcome the war. He says, I have overcome the war. Be of good cheer. Go and face Goliath, knowing I have overcome the war. Kalababa Shadalababa. Hallelujah. We do not ask, brothers and sisters, stay with me. We do not ask, why is this Goliath in front of me? We don't ask that question. You say, Pastor, there are giants in my life. 5 giants, 10 giants, somebody behind me have 50 giants. There's no problem. It doesn't really matter. You will go against the giants with your God. You will have a testimony of, by my God, I leap over a wall. By my God, I run through a troop. By my God. You see it now. By my God. The strength that Samson had. I want to leave you. But I want, we can see this today. So that tomorrow next week we come and rejoice and walk in the good way. We can see this today. The strength that Samson had. Was it a physical strength or spiritual strength? No, I want to go. Was it a spiritual strength or a physical strength? You see it now. You see, that's the trick. It was a spiritual strength manifested in the physical. It was manifested in the physical. We don't need locks of hair anymore. We have the strongest one inside of us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It is from his strength we draw. We draw from his strength on Tuesday. And we draw from his wisdom on Thursday. When something over my mind, come on, I will draw from his strength. Come on, I will draw from his wisdom. Samson was able to fight with his bare hands, but you and I know it was his strength that God provided. You see now that you will go out and face the giants with the strength that God provides. If you go out and fail, you will see the giant, you will be shaking. Because if it's only you, you have the right to shake. Because the giants are bigger than you. Those guys failed to understand that they had God on their side. If God be for us, I can expand this business. If God be for me, I can solve this problem. Say, Pastor, I don't understand. I'm thinking about it. If God be for me, you see it now. So you will go out on Tuesday. The only reason we lose is because we go out without God. That's the only reason we lose. You say, I labored more abundantly than they all. Then you will say, yet not I, but the grace of God. Come on. I labored more abundantly than they all. I'll be laboring, you will see something. You see something defeating the Philistines. But you know it's not something. You know it is God. Come on, it is God. You will see me walking in abundance. You will know it's not by the wisdom of my mind. Come on, it's by the wisdom that God provides. You will see me excelling in life, enjoying good things. You will know it is not by the strength, it's not by my strength, but by the strength and wisdom of God. Can you declare this morning that I enjoy good things? I possess the land. Come on, I possess the land. Giants are in the land. I know there are difficulties, there are tribulations, there are trials, there are giants in the land. But by my God, come on, you say, but by my God, I leap over a wall. We are victors in Christ Jesus. It's not a spiritual statement. It's a spiritual statement we use in the physical. We are victors in Christ Jesus. We declare it on Monday. We declare it on Tuesday. Come on. Use it. Use God. Use God. Use God. Let God use you. Come on. I'm a victor in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. It's not a spiritual statement. Use it in your office. Use it in your business. Use it when you are thinking. Take the spiritual and use it in the physical. That's the only way you win. That's the only way you win. That's the only way you win. You take the spiritual and use it in the physical. That's the only way you win. Brothers and sisters, take the spiritual and use it in the physical. That's the only way you win. The two dimensions become fused in one. Come on, do you see your victory now? Do you see your success now? Do you see your greatness now? Do you see all the good things that God has given to you? Possess the land. Possess the land. Possess the land. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Possess the land. Sata baba baya sa. No. Shaba baba sala bala bose. Kale no monda la bale. Possess your possessions. Expand your business. Labor more abundantly than they all. Succeed. Grow. Expand. Receive promotions by the grace of God. Sada baba baba ya sada baba. Lo baba baba yele yele moko yele yele maha. Use these scriptures. Use these words. When you face a Goliath, use these words. Bring the spirit into the physical. Bring the spirit into the physical. Use it. That's the way you succeed. That's the way you succeed. Kala baba so kolo baba. Kala mama masi de la kolo baba. Sa de la de kolo baba. Oh God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see people walking in victory. I see people walking in abundance. I see promotions. I see increase. I see good things in your life. Abundance. Come on.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed in church. You are blessed in your office. You are blessed in the field. You are blessed in the streets. You have abundance here right now. You have abundance in your office. In the name of Jesus. Yes. You are blessed here. You are blessed out there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You enter into good things. You enter into good things. You are entering into good things. You are not just hearing good news. You are receiving good things. In the name of Jesus. And every obstacle in front of you, every challenge in front of you, you will use the spirits. You will use the spirits and you will defeat them. You will defeat the Goliaths. You will defeat the giants. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Wisdom, inspiration from the spirits. Wisdom and inspiration from the spirits. In the name of Jesus. You will use them here. You will use them here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You have it. You are, your mind. You have a sound mind. You see, you have a sound mind. So when you are thinking, draw from the spirits. Declare. You say, I have a sound mind. I know I can deal with this thing. And that Goliath in front of you, that paper, you will solve it. You see, you solve it. You come out, you get the answer by your God. David said, by my God, I run through a truth. By my God, I leap over a wall, right? You say, by my God, I did this. I solved this question. By my God, I answered this question. That will be your testimony. By my God, I got this project. I got financing for my project. By my God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I hear a word in my spirit. You will boast. And you will boast in your God. You will boast. You will boast in your God. It's time for Christians to boast. You will boast in their God. You will boast in your God. You will say like Apostle Paul. It will be like this for you. Say, but by the grace of God and what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored. I was working hard night and day. I was doing everything I should do. I labored more than everybody. It's not me, oh. It's my brothers. No, don't look me. No, look God. Give all the glory to God. You will boast in your God. In the name of Jesus. Say, I will boast in my God. I will boast in my God. Come on, give God praise in the house. Give God praise in the house. We are victors in Christ.